Hello, fellow listeners, and welcome to our podcast, Hashtag Health, where medical students interview physicians and medical experts on pertinent issues in healthcare. I'm your host, Eda Yilmaz, a first-year medical student at Schulich School of Medicine and Dentistry, and on today's episode, which will be the first of two, we will be discussing the fentanyl crisis in Ontario. To discuss the opioid crisis, we must first understand what fentanyl even is. Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that is 50 to 100 times stronger than morphine, another opioid which is typically prescribed to treat pain and is considered the standard for opioids. Fentanyl misuse has been causing a significant increase in overdose deaths across Canada. According to the Ontario Drug Policy Research Network, there were 2,426 opioid-related deaths in Ontario between January 1, 2020 and September 30, 2021, with fentanyl being involved in 87% of those deaths. The fentanyl crisis has clearly become an increasingly worrying public health concern in Canada, and particularly in Ontario, where the number of overdose deaths has been steadily rising over the past few years. This has only been exacerbated with COVID-19, and there are several factors that have contributed to this crisis, including the increasing availability of fentanyl, housing instability, and the lack of access to harm reduction services for those who use drugs. One of the main challenges of addressing the fentanyl crisis is the fact that many people who use opioids do so to manage chronic pain. While opioids can be effective for pain management when used appropriately, they can be also highly addictive and dangerous when misused. This has led to a complex set of challenges at the political and social level, and the solution to this crisis requires a multifaceted approach. Joining us today as our guest speaker is Dr. Andreas Arida, an addiction medicine physician who has dedicated her career to serving some of Canada's most vulnerable populations. Dr. Arida is a staff physician at the London Intercommunity Health Centre, where she runs the Safer Supply Program. As both a physician and a social justice advocate, her work can be described as patient-focused, and she calls upon Ontario to dismantle the barriers that exclude marginalized populations within the healthcare system. So you most likely wear many different hats at work. So could you briefly introduce yourself to our listeners and describe your role in the London community?
Absolutely. So here in London, I work at the London Intercommunity Health Centre, and that's right down at Dundas in Adelaide. And the health centre, we serve broadly people with barriers to care in the traditional healthcare system. My role within that is to take care of people who are somewhere on the housing deprivation spectrum. So that could mean living in encampments, sleeping rough, in shelter, unstably housed, anywhere that they fall somewhere on that spectrum. Take care of about 2,000 folks in that way. And then also we're involved in a lot of outreach, mobile clinics, outreach to encampments, and then really focused work on people who are injecting fentanyl. And I think that's what we're going to talk mostly about today with the Safer Opioid Supply Program.
Now, over these last few years, and especially during COVID-19, it's really hard to miss stories relating to fentanyl and its role in the opioid crisis. So could you describe what fentanyl is exactly and how it's contributing to this crisis?
Mm-hmm. So fentanyl is a synthetic drug. It's a pharmaceutical made opioid. And fentanyl actually is very safely used across our country, you know, in emergency rooms and ICUs and operating rooms. So if you've had a broken leg or gone for a colonoscopy, you've had fentanyl through the IV, right? But the fentanyl that we hear about in the media, it's not pharmaceutical hospital-based fentanyl. This is illicitly produced fentanyl that's made in, you know, clandestine labs, which is not within the pharmaceutical industry. And it's used for people who are dependent on opioids and the opioid street supply. What makes fentanyl so dangerous is that what we're calling fentanyl is mostly not fentanyl. The fentanyl that people can buy on the street, it's anywhere from 4 to 9% fentanyl on average. And then within that, there's all different kinds of fentanyl analogs, as we say, which are really cousins to fentanyl that we see in the hospital. And then we see benzodiazepines. You hear a lot about xylazine in the news right now, which is trank dope. Those are making up the other 90% of what's in fentanyl. And that's really what's driving the crisis that we're here to talk about.
So many articles have actually highlighted the role of physicians and their prescription of opioids in perpetuating this issue. So this crisis must be mostly factorial, but what are some factors that have kind of played into this current crisis, and have physicians played a role in its emergence?
So physicians have played all, you know, very little role in the emergence of fentanyl. And I'll tell you what happened in a few moments. But I think, you know, a common media narrative, a common political narrative, is that overprescribing in the 1990s and the early 2000s, particularly of OxyContin, led to this epidemic of opioid use, you know, all over North America, not just in Canada. And it is absolutely true that OxyContin was overprescribed, was misunderstood in terms of its addiction potential. But that is not what actually caused the epidemic that we're seeing right now, the overdose crisis, the fentanyl crisis. We saw a few things happen before fentanyl emerged in Canada. And one thing that happened from a physician perspective is we had new opioid prescribing guidelines come out in, you know, around 2010, 2011. And those prescribing guidelines recommended weaning people down to a much smaller dose than people have been used to, weaning down to 90 milliequivalents of morphine or less. And a lot of people who had been on higher opioid prescriptions for this, for chronic pain, they were therefore put down to a much lower level than they were used to. And people's opioid dependence, it does not go away just because you know, reduce their prescription over a month or two. They have the same tolerance, they have the same pain needs, they have the same cravings and withdrawal. And so what a lot of people ended up doing is going to the street supply. And so at that time, it wasn't yet fentanyl, but we had quite a large cohort of patients turn from their doctors to buying on the street. So when we hear that overprescribing caused fentanyl, no, it's actually the opposite. It was this widespread, rampant de-prescribing of stable opioid prescriptions that really, really turned a lot of folks to the street market. And then, you know, as these things are, it was a bit of a perfect storm. So as deprescribing is happening, we also had OxyContin taken off the provincial drug formulary here in Ontario. And so that means, you know, within a month, people could no longer buy OxyContin, which, you know, with all of its ills, was still a pharmaceutically manufactured, clean, sterile pill of known dose. So that was removed from the street market and it was the opiate of choice. So, you know, what the street market, what the drug market always does is it fills the gap. And so initially we saw some other opioid pills come in, hydromorphocontin and so forth. And here in London, particularly, we saw crystal meth fill the gap for a couple of years. But then that's when fentanyl started to come back in. Certainly it appeared in BC in the early, you know, 2011, 2012 and marched its way west across Canada. And it hit us here in London around 2013, 2014. And at that time, it was still one of the opioids available. But within 2 or 3 years of fentanyl coming onto our streets, it was the only opioid on the street. And really, it's what any prohibition market does. It's what any prohibition market does. This happened with alcohol prohibition back in the 1920s. The government took away, you know, government sanctioned, controlled amounts of liquor produced in sterile conditions. They said we couldn't have it anymore. And so the alcohol market filled that with moonshine. And we saw a lot of, you know, health consequences of that. So 100 years later, we're doing the exact same thing with opioids.
So what are some risk factors in our healthcare system that may predispose Canadians to opioid addiction?
Yes. And so I'm going to separate that out a little bit. We know, I mean, if we're talking from a purely medical standpoint, we know that about 3% of people who are exposed to an opioid prescription within healthcare will go on to have a dependence and maybe an addiction. And certainly there's lots at play there, right? There's genetic factors at play, there's personal medical problems at play, so forth. But really the overwhelming risk factor for people using fentanyl is poverty and marginalization. So there's a reason why people living with homelessness are overrepresented in the you know, population of people who use fentanyl. It's because they're on the street, they have profound physical and emotional pain, and fentanyl is what's available. And so it's really their poverty and their disconnect from the community that is driving that fentanyl use. We also see it in different groups of folks. We know certainly in the construction industry, males in the third decade, so between 30 and 40, are actually, you know, our leading cohort for overdose deaths. And when you think about that, these are guys who, you know, are usually on a contract. They don't have sick days. There's a high risk of injury. And so you pull your back, you're working in construction. You want to keep working in construction. What do? You usually get a prescription for opioids. But those scripts usually do not last for those injuries. And so again, just like back in 2011, 2012, when we deprescribe, those folks end up turning to the fentanyl market as well.
In terms of physical hotspots, are there kind of areas where opioids is more common?
I would say no, there's no longer real hotspots. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Certainly, we used to see it concentrated in Vancouver and the downtown east side is what everybody hears about. And then we hear about it in our larger centers like Toronto or, you know, other capital cities and provinces. But right now, it's everywhere. So again, we hear all about the downtown east side, but Ontario has actually surpassed the per capita overdose, fatal overdose rate over British Columbia for the past 3 years. And we so see no signs of that slowing. And in Ontario, our highest fatal overdose rates are actually in the north. So communities like Timmins, Ontario, Thunder Bay, Ontario, a lot of our really rural and remote communities per capita have the highest rate of death. So unfortunately, I wouldn't say there's a hot spot. It's countrywide. It's Canada-wide for us.
Thank you for joining us today on our first episode of two about the fentanyl crisis in Ontario. We hope that you enjoyed our discussion, which has shed some light onto the seriousness of this issue and the history of the fentanyl crisis until today. Make sure not to miss out on our episode two, where Dr. Sreed and I will delve deeper into the factors that have perpetuated the use of fentanyl and what steps can be taken to solve the fentanyl crisis.